Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Reece Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Oh, Sam Kerr!
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Welcome to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7. Excellent intro, as always, by our marvellous producer, Ben. Of course, you were in the studios here with Michael and Neve, and it's another exciting Friday morning of sport, and we're going to dive straight into it. Of course, you might have heard us just before invading the Get Serial podcast there, and we just want to really emphasise just how absolutely outraged we are, like probably most of the country right now, Neve, with what has happened in the AFLW.
Yeah, most of the country, definitely. There's going to be a royal commission into this in no time. There should be. So in case you hadn't heard, if you haven't been on the internet in the last 48 hours, after round one of the AFLW, the AFL commission, I guess you would call it, sent out a memo to the AFLW coaches explaining that they need to be doing a better job of making the game, I guess, more presentable and more exciting. So they're talking about, oh, you need to have this many players starting in these positions. So we know how AFLW has 16 on the field instead of 18. And so they had never made it clear which 16, like which two should be dropped, whether you take two forwards out, push somebody like up, all that sort of stuff. And so the coaches have really been playing with that and seeing who they can bring either closer to the midfield or spreading out or flooding defence, et cetera, because they're coaches and that's their decision. They're not really being given much licence to do that now. There's been a lot of rule changes, like the 16-a-side and the last touch out-of-bounds rule, and now the AFL's come in and said, no, you need to be doing it like this. Umpires will not start play unless you're set up in this formation. Like you need to make sure your forwards aren't getting dragged into the play and stuff like that, which is just people getting dragged into play is just people who are new to the sport. Absolutely. And there's a lot, especially the worst, inverted commas, game on the weekend was definitely the Friday night game with Carlton and Collingwood. I wouldn't say that was a great exposition of skill, but it is super nerve-wracking, number one. Number two, Collingwood's team is made up of a lot of people who have come from other sports. Because they're the oldest list, so they have a lot of, like, dual athletes. And so getting sucked into play is definitely something that I think happens when you're new to the sport because you just want to get involved and you want to help out your teammates. But apparently we've got to stop doing that now.
Yes, yes. The memo was sent out, I think, on Thursday. And ever since then, it has received a huge amount of backlash. Pretty much the memo avoids playing extra players, as you mentioned, Neve, in defence by sticking to a strict 5-6-5 formation. Of course, 5 in the back, 6 in the mid, and then 5 up forward. So they really are going to be sticking strict to this. Of course, in this as well, there's going to be a 15-metre protected area in front of the stoppages. Now, look, how you could actually adjudicate this is going to be the next big issue. It's something
it
to coach
get,
this.
The 10-metre protected zone doesn't get adjudicated properly in the men's.
It doesn't really. And, I mean, I don't know if someone's going to pull out a measuring tape before a stoppage.
Yeah,
umpires...
Look, they do their job, they do it. If it wasn't for umpires, we wouldn't be able to watch our great game, et cetera, et cetera. But they're shocking at distances. Like, I'm really bad at distances, and I always think, oh, man, I could easily become an umpire because I have no depth perception whatsoever.
Absolutely none. And you just see, like, when a mark is taken and they say, you know, you've 15 metres, thank you, you're not entirely sure. Even when a kick is, someone marks it and it looks like they've, you know, you have to wonder sometimes, is that a 10-metre kick? Is that even a 5-metre kick?
It just seems like an odd thing to bring in.
It's a very tough rule to adjudicate.
And, yeah, they said that if these directives aren't followed, rule changes will be introduced. Because there's only, again, with the AFLW, there's only seven rounds.
Games, yep.
And so you can't really punish Like in the men's, it'll be like, if you're not playing the kind of footy we want you to play, you won't get any Friday night games.
That's right.
Like you won't get televised as much, et cetera, et cetera. With the women's, there's only one game that's on free-to-air per week. There's only 7 matches. You can only have so many. Like you can literally get Friday, 2 games on Saturday or 1 game on Sunday. Like they can't really take much away from you except to introduce more rules, which I think just makes the women's game look more farcical.
It does.
It takes away like... And they're coming in, I understand that they do this to the men's as well, but releasing it kind of as a whole thing, it's like, I know that they've spoken to Ross Lyon about, like, please don't play so defensively because it looks boring and stuff like that, but it's not the same as saying it to all the coaches. And the other thing, that you've been playing more defensively in the AFLW, because if you lose, like we saw with Melbourne last year, if you lose one game, you're out. There's only one, we don't have a finals... like series, if you lose one game, that's it. Like you're not playing the grand final, you're not going to win the premiership, which again is an like the premiership is a massive incentive. Like not only to like it feels good, but you get more money out of it. These players are not getting paid enough to to kind of have to put up with this. As I was saying as well before when we did our little handover with Get Cereal, the AFL has a heap of money. Total player payments for the women's are. It's like 2.7 million, I think I heard on the Andrew Sandman podcast.
That's right.
And for the men's, I mean, we know how much they get paid. Like, we know about Dustin Martin and how much he's on. And yeah, and their sponsorships as well. That's the other thing. If the women play well, they get sponsored. Like, I think Ryan Hope's sponsored by Nike or something like that. Mm. Like, that's another incentive to play good, play like exciting football because someone's going to come in and sponsor you. And you need that money because if you get injured, like, you're stuffed sort of thing.
That's
whereas
right.
if you're in the men's, you get injured, you're laughing. Like, it's kind of, if you want it to be, the AFL is expecting the AFLW to be, like, this great product that they can market, and they market it in this really weird sort of, like, look what we're creating way, but then they turn around and be like, no, you should have created it by now. And it's like, for, like, I mean, obviously women have been playing footy for 100 years.
Exactly.
But we've never been given kind of... the incentives before, and now it's happening. It's not going to happen like
it's
that.
Not going to happen overnight.
Especially my favorite thing is like people being like, oh, I could watch an under 12s and it would look like this. And I was like, hey, maybe because like 90% of these women had to stop at under 12s. And so,
that's correct.
I mean, we saw on the weekend Chloe Malloy, Isabel Huntington, and Monique Conti were some of the best players. They've on debut, 18 year olds.
Wow.
Yeah, 18, 19 year olds. And it's because they got to come through the TAC Cup and they got to be part of academies and they got to do all that sort of thing. So, like, every single year, there's going to be more of these girls.
Absolutely.
In 5 years, 10 years' time, it's going to look better. But that's the thing. Like, we have to wait 5 to 10 years.
And I think the overall feeling behind this is it's a real knee-jerk reaction, particularly to the fallout of that very first curtain-raising game between Collingwood and Carlton on the weekend, which did receive a lot of backlash because it wasn't an exciting brand, and the AFL got probably very concerned about where the game was going. Of course, it was more or less resurrected in the next game that followed that, Melbourne versus GWS. Very high-scoring game, 13 goals kicked, and a very, very exciting game to watch. But the thing is, they've got to give this time because the AFL have created this, you know, a lot of different rules. It is different to the men's game significantly with a lot of the different rules and, of course, the less amount of players, shorter quarters. But it's something that needs to develop over time. And I think, a lot of impatience has been shown here. But equally in saying that, it's only a 7-round season. So if they weren't going to introduce this rule now, you know, when are they going to introduce
it? I think it's silly to introduce different rules. And they only have 3 official training sessions per week.
That's right. That's
after tough. Their own work. They only have a 2-month preseason with 1 practice match, like no JLT, no nothing. It's just a lot of contributing factors. A lot of the girls, again, I think 40% of the players last weekend were on debut. They don't know each other as well.
No.
Is that the other thing? Like, I don't know, like, every single time I kick it to Darcy Vesio that she's like she wants it in that pocket or she wants it here.
Is she a good overhead mark? Is she better, you know, with the ground level ball?
I mean that's someone like Darcy Vesio. If you're kicking someone who you don't know as well, like who isn't kind of like a household name, it's going to be even harder. So it's like someone who there isn't like as much vision of, that sort of thing. So there's so many contributing factors.
Absolutely.
And I just think it's really like it looks stupid for the AFL to turn around and do this instead of backing the AFLW as a developing product and being like, no, like, to all, like, you know, Andrew and Daryl and stuff who love commenting on Facebook. No one asked you, but yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It looks like they're kind of folding towards that side as opposed to being like, no, no, like, look, there's like, I mean, I could talk for this entire hour about all the contributing factors. I literally could, and I have, like, it's already started, but yeah, like, they should come out and be like, no, it's like this, like, what are you talking about? This is, you know, developing. We only give you 7 rounds, you're part time. But yeah. It seems silly that this would have been the dominant conversation. It's sad. I think it's sad that it's the dominant conversation of the week when we've had so much good stuff happen over the weekend.
And there is so much good that comes from the game. There's so many great stories that come out from the game, and it is just disappointing. And it is also disappointing that this memo came out so late in the week. Like, even if the coaches had known about this earlier in the week, even Monday or Tuesday, they could have probably better implemented it at training. But because it was so late in the week, I think that's really where the frustration has came in as well. I know for a fact, when you are coaching a group of players and you have to implement, you know, something new into your, it takes a couple of days, let alone a couple of weeks, to actually properly get right, particularly in training. So it was brought at a wrong time, but equally, you know, I suppose the AFLW, they have looked at it and went, well, you know, when else is something like this going to come in? But it is a real big knee-jerk reaction. But even another thing with this season as well is the broadcasting, which I find a little bit interesting. A lot of the games have been, I think, shifted to 7-Mate instead of 7. Mm. So,
But AFLX is going to be on the main channel.
Which I find a little bit interesting, because the AFLX is also, if you're talking about experimentation, the AFLX is probably the biggest experimentation out of the two different leagues.
I don't understand. I don't want to talk about AFLX. I have to put a blank on it, because otherwise I get sort of like, at the end I'll have to be like, I'm KB and that's my take or something, because it's like I have so many opinions on it. But I mean, the other thing is that it takes away from the fact of us talking about it like it's a, you know, like we would dissect the men's first round sort of thing. But I mean, we can talk about a lot of other stuff with AFLW, which we're going to do.
Which we absolutely
after we
will.
Have a little break, and like I can have a drink of water or something and remember.
Recuperate.
Yeah, exactly.
And welcome back to the Sports Desk on Sid 90.7 FM. Of course, you're joined with Michael and Neve. We're into the AFLW.
Yeah, it's good. There's only 7 rounds to talk about it, so we've got to get it in.
And there's really only 6 left, so exactly. You know, we don't have much time to talk about it.
Through the season.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Terrifying. But, yeah, well, speaking of not a lot of rounds, Mo Hope has been dropped.
Axed.
For the game against Fremantle, the sold-out game at the new Perth Stadium. Did you know they got a new stadium over
there? The Optus Stadium? What the hell?
Did anybody else know that they have a new stadium in Perth?
Did anyone know that?
It's pretty exciting.
It's pretty exciting. I mean hopefully good. The food is more exciting this round, because we have covered it in the past.
That's your punishment for trying to buy stadium food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, don't buy fish fingers and a burger, guys.
Exactly. But, Mo Hope has been dropped. The Collingwood assistant coach, Daniel Harford, was speaking to RSN on Friday, or this morning, I believe, and he was saying that she needs to perform at this level, being AFLW.
That's true.
She has to adapt to the game. The bear in the square is not going to last in AFLW. You've got to have more in your bow. I would argue that...
Or in your mo.
In your mo. Got to have more in your mo. So I would argue that maybe the bear in the square would work. I mean, you can push her up forward, like have a run in the midfield and then come back. If you're a good forward, what's the point? Like how's she going to kick goals she's sitting
if you can't lead up the ground?
Square.
I mean, we saw how dominant Sabrina Fedrick-Traub was last round with her contestant marking. Now, Mo is a good contestant mark when she gets a run at the ball. But as you pointed out beautifully, you can't get a lot of touches there, particularly if they double tag her in the square, which they do.
Yeah, they'll tag her for sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and the other thing that bothers me about this is there's not like a VFL side that's going on. So Mo Hope's not going
to
play any...
to the seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Mo Hope's not going to play any football this weekend. How is she supposed to get better? And as well, it is at like, obviously it's going to be a massive away... What's the word I'm thinking of? Like the other team's crowd. Hmm. Not like a home crowd, but you're the away side. And it's going to be a massive Freo crowd. But she plays well in front of like, she likes that sort of stuff.
She loves the stage.
Like, she plays well in front of big crowds, as we saw, like, when they used to do the exhibition matches. I mean, she can kick six goals in a big crowd. And I know that she'll be playing against different defenders.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. But she's looking, like, she lost, I think it was,
something like 8 kilograms
for this season. Like, she's obviously training really hard. I think, given that there is no seconds to drop her to, like, what's going to go on? And they played Malloy in the back half towards the end of the game against Carlton last week. So they're going to have to push Chloe Malloy up forward now to fill the gap where Mo Hope was.
You can't put her everywhere on the ground.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm worried about, is that you don't have Hope. Your next point of call is, like,
very good.
You know, to go to Chloe Malloy, although she's brilliant, like, I think she had 18 kicks out of her 20 disposals and, like, 2 tackles and stuff last. And I think 20... It's in the men's, 30 is rated elite per game, but because of the shortened game time, which is another factor to those goals, in the women's, 17 is elite. So to have 20 on debut
in your
is,
first game.
Yeah, like 17 or 18 kicks, like, that's pretty intense.
And although it's only a 7-round season, you've got to be wary that this is a young girl coming in for her first season, even though very high draft pick, coming in as her first season. You know, you don't want to strain her too much. You don't want to play her in too many positions, even though she's very, very talented.
Yeah, well, they used her in all three positions when she was playing for Diamond Creek in the VFLW the year just gone. Scott Gowans used her in a lot of different positions. She can play all of them, but I think it's good... put her where you need, but don't, like, oh, we're going to take Mo, like, hokey pokey style, like, take Mo out, put Malloy in, put, you know what I mean? Like, just kind rotate them. Like, I think the best thing for Malloy, because she is so talented, is find her position, use her at that, and then, like, all right, we need you to have, like, a 10-minute stint in the midfield. We need you to have a 10-minute stint wherever. But give her something that she can really work on, because, it is only a 7-round season. Like,
that's right.
And it'll get her the best shit. Like, I mean, where are they going to put her in the All-Australian side?
Exactly.
If she hasn't got a fixed position.
Exactly. The thing is with Mo Hope as well, she lost all that weight at the start of the season with a bit of a surety that she would actually play a bit more midfield time, which I think she's certainly capable of doing with her height as well. So she could have certainly ran through the midfield, even given her a go there.
I didn't think she looked that bad last week to warrant dropping.
I mean, 6 disposals, okay. Maybe, you know, but 6 tackles, 1 mark, and I think 1 tackle as well. So I mean, probably wasn't her best game, but she showed glimpses of...
Yeah, and to get dropped after the first round is rough.
Very stiff, stiff. Considering such a highly regarded player, although she didn't have her best first season, we just know what she's capable of doing, and she certainly will be there in the future. Fingers crossed for her. Now, the first game tonight will be Greater Western Sydney up against Carlton at, I hope I pronounced this correctly, is it Drummond Oval?
Drummond, maybe?
Drummond? I mean, if it's in Greater Western Sydney, it could be anything, really. But, of course, the big news out of this one is Lauren Arnell has been admitted to the vice-captain.
Yeah, zero disposals.
Zero disposals.
Donuts last week. She was, former captain, but she is one of the ones that, I think she was carrying an injury last week. That's my thing. And also, she is one of the older players.
That's right.
I think she's she hung on to footy to play AFLW. And, like, she's hung on again, obviously, to have her around and her leadership experience. Like, she's a football genius. She's been doing coaching as well and stuff like that. So it's good to have her on the side. But, I have a feeling she'll retire after this, especially if she's injured. Like, maybe they'll try and get her right so she can play another game. Because when she can play, she's really, really good. But, she just, they kind of sat her at full forward and then took her off last week. So I think injured.
Looked pretty tired. And probably injured as well. Yeah, the body's been through some rigors by the sounds of it.
Exactly.
And, disappointing, obviously. But, zero disposals. You should get dropped after a zero disposal game. Maybe after 6, give them a chance next week. But we won't harp on too much about that as well. So this will be an interesting clash because GWS were very, very competitive against Melbourne.
So good.
They play their first game at their home ground, which will probably favour them a little bit more, knowing the dimensions of the ground and knowing a little bit more with their home side there as well, their home crowd. But Carlton, you know, they seem to be the talk of the town this season. they look like the better side. But it'll be an interesting clash.
No, I'm going to tip GWS.
Ah, good.
Home crowd. I think they'll be really good. Carlton is good. I think Sophie Lee is going to be really good for Carlton. I think she's underrated coming from the draft, coming over from Adelaide. I think, but there's no one else in the midfield unless you push Bree Davey in there that I'm kind of like, oh my God.
You wouldn't put Taylor Harris in the midfield, would you?
But like, you'd rather have her at forward,
I'd rather
you know
have her at forward, absolutely.
Like, all right, we'll play. Like, again, you can have a quick stint, like, try and cause some damage and then go back to your position.
That's
and
right.
Like, with Bree Davey, I think they need her more in defence than they do in the midfield as well. But I think GWS, I think from what I've seen, they're doing such a good job. It's funny because I hate the men's team from GWS. They're all arrogant.
Ever since the start.
Just especially being a Bulldog supporter, like, you can only kick so many players in the face until I've had enough. But
yes. I
but
you'd
I love
bring that
the
up.
Women's team. I love them so much. They're so wonderful. Like, if you haven't had a chance, you should watch The Sauce Bar. It's the Nicola Barr and Alex Saundry. Fun fact about Alex Saundry, her sister is a dietitian at the Bulldogs.
There you go. Well connected and, you know,
Bit of Bulldog, and she's so funny. And they have these really good videos. And just their team, like, their team spirit seems to be up. I think
Alan
McConnell's doing a really good job as well. Like, I think, like, the women's team is so funny and good. As opposed to the men's team.
And hopefully the men's team can take a page out of their book with this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully they can be a bit more, you know, a bit more humid,
attack
a bit more
the ball,
humid.
Maybe get a hard ball.
That's but, right. Yes.
But, yeah, so, like, the women's team, I think, like, especially their first home game, I wouldn't, like, 100% them to win, but I think they'll play a really, really good game, and I think they'll really take it up to Carlton if not beat them. But
and I hope it's
GWS
more high scoring.
I think this game will be particularly good.
You're coming against a very high scoring side from the round before and a very low scoring side from the round before. So it'll be very intriguing what kind of game.
So I think like GWS. I think the Carlton Collingwood game was still like crash and bash at it, so they'll still be tired.
But
I think GWS will have a bit more.
A bit more running in the legs. Yeah. We hope so. Now we move to Saturday's game, and this one's going to be an absolute beauty. I reckon this is going to be the game of the round. Melbourne versus Adelaide at Casey Fields. So nice little spot, the old Casey.
Yeah, a bit difficult to get to, but that's okay. I was actually after footy training last night. I was having dinner in Berkeley Square with my friends, and this guy came up to us and he was like, "Oh, you do women's footy?" And we were like, "Yeah, well, just footy." But but he was really nice, and he was like, "Oh, you know, good on you. It's so good. Like, is there a game in Melbourne this weekend?" And we're like, "Yeah, the only one, it's in Casey tomorrow." And he's like, "And it's free?" And we're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go." And we're like, "Casey's like an hour away, dude, on the bus, but it's cool." He's like, "No, I'm gonna go," and all this stuff. So
it's like, I'm a bus driver. That's what I do.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, maybe he is
no
a bus
problem.
Driver. But yeah, so that was really cool. So
shout out to
that man, if you're listening.
Yeah, that man. He doesn't have a name.
No, he didn't introduce himself, but he's a good bloke.
That's fair enough. Good on him. Definitely get down. And, you'll be disappointed if you don't see him there, Nev.
Yeah, I actually will be.
He said
he was going.
So. He will be going. Let's hope so. Probably the big news out of this, Karen Paxman, she looked like she had a few issues. I think they were just back spasms from the game.
Yeah.
But even still, that can be somewhat of a recurring issue if it does continue in other games. So we hope that this round doesn't bring that on again.
Yeah.
But hopefully she'll be playing for Melbourne. It looks like she'll line up this weekend.
I think you would at least have her just in case and then at the last minute pull her out if you needed to, because she's too good not to.
She's outstanding. But Adelaide were pretty disappointing last week. I mean, they were outplayed by a much better and more competitive Brisbane side, you've got to say. After half time, Brisbane just came out and absolutely dominated in all facets of the game. And with such a star with Sabrina Fedorova, as we mentioned, who's leading my votes for the AFLW All Australian. She looked absolutely outstanding. But it'd be interesting this week to see, because obviously GWS last week they went with the whole tactic where they would tag, you know, the star pupil in Daisy Pierce. It'd be interesting to see this week if Adelaide choose the same kind of tactic, because it seemed to work for the first half of the game, but then, of course, Daisy Pierce being the champion that she was, came into her own for the second half of the game and practically took it away from the Giants. But do you think Adelaide will go down that path?
Or I think it's worth it. Well, you can't just let her go. You'd be like, oh, yeah, there goes Daisy. Right. She's backing up disposals. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, no.
In typical Daisy Pierce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's worth, like, you have to, otherwise. And, I mean, they've got other, like, Mohiki and Elise O'Day and stuff in the midfield, but, I mean, she's the prime target, I think.
Absolutely.
If you can kind of, like, stop her, you can kind of quieten the whole midfield, I think. Mm. But if you let her go, like, they'll just, like, destroy you. And, yeah, with no Courtney Cramie and Aaron Phillips. Annoying, because wouldn't you love to see Aaron Phillips and Daisy Pierce go head-to-head?
Head-to-head would be the best thing to see, particularly Casey Phillips.
Aaron Phillips Quorn.
It's worth the bus ride out there.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
absolutely.
Yes.
definitely.
God's country.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But yeah, I'm probably going to tip Melbourne in this one.
I think Melbourne as well. I think Melbourne are the team to beat.
But I'll tell you what, I think Adelaide, if they don't win this game, they'll be backs against the wall for them, because if they want to defend that title and hopefully get their skipper back soon, they're going to want to win this game. I think they'll be trying pretty hard to get this one. Now, of course, the big one that we're talking about before at Optus Stadium, Fremantle and Collingwood, sold out apparently.
Yeah, allegedly sold out, but apparently as well, people were just like buying heaps of tickets because they were $2.
Yeah.
So everyone needs to turn up, and then it'll break
up
a record. Because I think there's this really old record for the women's footy, and like 41,000 people showed up because they dropped like in 40-something, I think. They dropped the ball, like, for the centre bounce from, a little plane or something.
Oh, wow.
So everyone came out to see the plane because they didn't have the internet back then.
Ah, yes. And the Wright brothers got there. That's
I think they still do that in Perth. They all turn out to see planes. But like,
or an eagle.
Yeah, exactly. So they dropped the ball down with a plane or something, and there were heaps and heaps of people there. So
everyone has to go,
use a ticket. If you know someone who lives in Perth who has a spare ticket, book a flight right now, go over
break
some records. It'll be
$2, and accommodation in Perth's pretty cheap as well. Well, maybe on the outskirts. I don't think in the inner city it's that cheap.
It's worth it though.
But definitely worth
it. Can you put a price on making history?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. And we will get on the phone after this, Niamh and I. We'll get on the phone and we'll actually see whether we can get an old aircraft or possibly an eagle to drop the ball for the centre bounce.
Yeah.
It might be a lot easier than actually bouncing the ball up. You know?
Well, yeah, they don't bounce it. They throw it up.
They just throw it.
We need to get something to throw the ball up.
Exactly.
From the
That's a great idea.
Well, I think we might have solved the whole bounce crisis.
I think we have.
Like, just get a menagerie of animals.
As history has suggested.
Exactly. You know? Crowds.
Hasn't worked yet. Yeah, hasn't failed in the past. Certainly
exactly.
won't fail in the future.
Exactly.
Now, who's going to be taking out this one? Who's going to be taking out the inaugural Optus Stadium title?
Well, in men's sport,
yes,
the away side keeps winning
keeps
at Perth
winning.
Stadium. In women's, the home side wins.
Home side wins.
Perth Scorchers, the women's team won there.
They
so,
did too. They
Fremantle
did too.
For me.
Fremantle
it's
as well.
Because people are
I
like,
think,
oh, Perth Stadium curse.
It's like, only no, in the men's.
Exactly, only for the blokes. So, women's, Fremantle. I think Fremantle will win anyway, but...
But Optus Stadium, there's a little bit of a hoodoo for the men's
exactly.
home sides,
it's
I think.
Only for the men's.
And I think on that logic, you have to tip Fremantle.
Exactly.
Now, of course, as we expected, Sarah Darcy is out as she serves that 2-week suspension. Now, my co-host on Monday thought, you know, she'd be out for the season because they really wanted to stamp something like that out of the game. But I think it was probably only worth 2 to 3 weeks.
And it's obviously, I think in the men's, it would be a much bigger punishment.
And
because
a huge fine.
Because you know how, like, getting kicked in the groin, if...
Well,
like,
it's going to sting a little bit.
I mean, I know it's the morning, but yeah, it's going to hurt. Like, it hurts.
It's going to hurt.
Getting
it's
kicked anywhere,
hurt.
But it's the same thing. Like, if you're in the women's game, you get punched in the chest. It's going to be different if you're in the men's game getting punched in the chest.
Absolutely.
Like, it's different for everybody. So it's like, it's not as bad, but I think it's good to take into account how long
the
women's season
is.
Because apparently, what's his name? Christian has. I just keep calling him Chrisso in my head. So
Chrisso.
Chrisso has got the power to adjudicate, in terms of the length of season, which makes sense.
That's
because
right.
we always, like, with Trent Cotchin being able to play the grand final last season, it was like, oh, this is too big of a punishment, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we take it into account in the men's, the weight of the match ban.
That's right.
So why wouldn't we take an account into the women's?
That's correct. So I think that fits in.
If Trent Cotchin got to play in the grand final, Sarah Darcy gets 2 weeks. That makes sense to me.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. Or if Trent Cotchin plays in the grand final, Sarah Darcy plays. They completely forget about the kick.
Exactly.
Typical Richmond logic, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Now, the final game, which will be on Sunday, will be the Brisbane Lions up against the Western Bulldogs at South Pine Sports Complex, the name, 3:35. And this is going to be a good clash because Brisbane are the red-hot team. I mean, considering they've only lost one game in the history of the AFLW, and it just happened to be maybe the most important game of the AFLW, they've looked pretty good in every other... They're the team to beat this season.
Yeah, I think... I would say between Melbourne and Brisbane, I went to see the Bulldogs on Sunday.
They
do. Katie Brennan looks particularly good. I mean, it's going to be really cool seeing...
Ellie Blackburn?
Ellie Blackburn as well. Oh, my God. Sabrina Frederick-Traub at one end and Katie Brennan at the other.
Oh, this is going to be exciting.
It is good. And as a Bulldogs supporter, I am so nervous. But I'm also excited because I think it'll really see... Because, I think Melbourne and Brisbane are the teams to beat so far. And if we can beat Brisbane, or at least play well against Brisbane, then I'll feel a bit better about last season, I guess.
Yeah, last season was rough.
But I think my logic is always if I'm not sure about the Bulldogs, I tip the other side. So I'm going to tip Brisbane because then we lost. But I was right. So
I'm gonna tip Brisbane, but I'm gonna back in the Bulldogs to play very,
very
well.
I just
want to
get run over. Want to play well.
Absolutely.
All you want is growing up a Bulldogs supporter. All you want is not get yelled at.
You guys are always the underdogs. Sorry to pardon the pun there, but you know, you guys are always the underdogs. And I tell you what.
Growing up a Bulldogs supporter, especially I live in the northeast, so it's a real Collingwood, Richmond area.
My condolences.
And and primary school, me and my sister were the only Bulldogs supporters. And just getting yelled at by the other kids on a Monday morning was really fun. And it teaches you humility.
It does.
Teaches you grace in the face of defeat.
That's right.
And unending pessimism as well.
That's right. That's right.
But that's okay.
Resilience.
Yeah. Exactly, resilience. So, tipping Brisbane.
Tipping Brisbane. But she just gave me a little wink saying, doggies. So go the doggies. Go the doggies. Anyway, we're going to crack on to a song. And when we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the NBA. Of course, a lot happening this morning with their trades. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Winter Olympics and the International T20 Tri-Series.
Okay. There's a lot of guys coming through who know limited overs cricket.
That's
like,
right.
I don't know, Glenn Maxwell. Or like Finch or someone like that who could be like, yep, that's for you. You take this.
That's right.
And kind of give it more. Otherwise, you're just taking up spots. Like
you
play,
are. You
like
are.
Batting in first, taking up, and then just getting out. Like you're just taking up space.
You're taking that
space.
Spot. Absolutely.
And there's a difference between you can be a captain and not be at the top of the order. You know what I mean? Like just because you're a good captain doesn't not necessarily mean you have to be like
absolutely
at the top of your game all the time. But if you are going to put yourself at the top of the order, you do need to be at the top of the game.
You need to perform well, and you need to be absolutely top form. The only reason I could probably logically think that they would have put those players in that side, particularly Dave Warner captaining the T20, was actually getting back in form. Since the Ashes, he's been really out of form. But you know, to be honest with you, what's more important, him getting back in form through 2020 or him getting back in form, maybe through the Shield, a couple of rounds in the Shield.
Exactly. Having
and getting
a rest.
Prepared for a very important test series against South Africa, which is less than a month away.
Exactly. David Warner getting picked for a test side makes a lot more sense than David Warner getting picked for ODIs or captaining T20s.
It's not the David Warner of old. This is the David Warner. This is a new and improved David Warner, that can afford an OLED TV.
Exactly. Have a rest. See your kids.
That's right.
Play a few Shield matches and then go to South Africa is my thing. And, like, give the younger guys, a chance to kind of play and bond as well together.
That's
and, like, work as a team together because eventually they'll be the ones that are going to go up and play the test.
Exactly.
So
Smith, Warner, Marsh, they all looked very tired in the ODI series.
Yes, they looked very, very tired.
And as they would have been, you know.
Exactly.
It's such a strenuous series, the Ashes. You can't underestimate that. They need to have a proper rest. Don't worry about the ODI rankings. Let's worry about the test rankings.
Yeah,
Test match cricket has always been the most important form of cricket.
Exactly.
No offence to the international T20s. They're very entertaining to watch, but you can't beat some proper
cricket. And that's right. Like, having a rest is not a bad thing.
No, definitely not.
It's definitely, and I would, like, if I saw a captain who's like, oh, I'm tired, I'm not going to play, I'm going to hand the captaincy over to someone younger so they can get a feel for it, and then I'm going to have a rest so I can play well and captain well in the test series, especially in, like, going over to South Africa. I think I would be like, hey, wow, good captaining, that's really good leadership, blah, blah,
that's
blah,
great.
As opposed to being like, oh, you should have taken a break, like, you know enough to know that you should have taken a break, sort of thing.
That's right. That's all right. So they've got to get that right, and the fixture is huge, so they've got to find ways to get themselves into form, but also get themselves replenished for the next series.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
We're going to move to the NBA, Niamh, where our big man, of course, LeBron James, he hasn't been traded yet, which is a very, very relieving thought for all people from Cleveland, which is great, but Cavs up against the Minnesota was an absolute thriller. And you talk about dominance from a player, and you talk about a player who changes games on their absolute heads. Well, it was a stunning triple-double performance from James, who ended up finishing the game with 37 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds, including a huge rebound, literally in the dying strokes of the match, where he was able to actually rebound one of the Minnesotan players from going for a certain slam dunk, which would have absolutely ended the game. They were burning up some time in the last couple of minutes. And then with about a second to go on the clock, a pass to LeBron James sealed the win with, literally, he had taken the shot, the buzzer had went before the ball had even went into the net. And the ball went through, and the Cavs ended up winning a very high-scoring match. Absolutely no defense in this game. But it just shows how important he is. But if he does end up leaving the Cavs, there will be a big hole there. But as we've been noted in the news just recently, the Cavs have lost six of their higher-end talent. And as a result of that, they are looking like they're going to be choosing a much younger side going forward, which possibly could mean that they're going to be going into a rebuilding kind of mode now that possibly LeBron James will be leaving. So it's looking pretty full on. But also, something very interesting came up over the last couple of days. Now, Ben Simmons, our man Benny Simmons.
The real L-man.
The real thing.
Legitimate L-man.
The Aussie man. Proud Aussie.
Yeah, did you know Ben Simmons
is
Australian? Were you aware of that?
I wasn't aware of that. Like, listening to his accent, it's very conflicting. I'm like, is he Australian? Is he? Apparently so. Now, in Parliament, Labor MP Tim Watts has actually delivered quite an impassionate speech and a strong case for Ben Simmons to actually be named in the All-Star side. Now, Ben Simmons, after three injuries for people in the All-Star squad, he should be in there by now. But there has been a fourth injury, and it's by a guard, so you would almost assume that he would be a shoo-in into this squad. Now, of course, the MP did argue that there is a strong anti-Australian case going around that, you know, Australians just don't get selected for the All-Star squad. But with Ben Simmons' form, and it's been illustrious in this season so far for the Philadelphia 76ers, all happening for Philadelphia at the moment, he really should be in that squad. And it's good to hear that it's been raised in Parliament as well.
I just think, like, Australian Parliament, you know, like, the big issues doesn't really have much of a sway in the global format. And I think it's good that Tim Watts is talking about it, but it's like, mate, there's people dying.
I'm sure there's bigger fish to fry in the political world.
Yeah,
but even still,
you know what? I mean, I can definitely empathise with somebody who wants
absolutely
to talk about sport at all times to anyone, like anywhere. But like, Tim.
Tim, come on, get
right
real, Tim.
In, Tim.
And if you do watch his speech, there is a lady sitting behind him who you can tell is very political, and she's just shaking her head, just going, what are you talking
about,
Ben?
She calls it, like, sports ball or something. But yes.
I think
Parliament aside, I think it's odd that he wouldn't have been picked by now, but surely he would. But at
surely
the same time,
he would now.
If he gets into the game and he gets injured, then
it's a point guard.
Like,
come on. He's got to get in now. This guy, I think, he'll be spending all of the hard-earned taxpayer money to get over there and to try and influence the All-Star selection, I think. I think Tim Watts may be the man. He may be the key
money
player in
I
this little game.
I pay my taxes for Ben Simmons to play in the All-Star squad.
Good on him. Good on him. Get around Timmy Watts. Unfortunately, Niamh, that's all we've got time for today. It's
yeah,
been an absolutely cracking show. And, yeah, hopefully no more memos next week.
I mean, you'd hope so. I think after Memo Gate this week, it'd look a bit rough to do a second one. But we'll see how we go.
I'm sure the coaches will be up to it. I'm sure the players are very embracing of change, and they'll certainly be up to it this week. But we don't want to see too many changes in our great game.
No, I think if it's not broken, don't fix it. And also, they tried 16-a-side years and years ago in the 20th century. They tried last touch out of bounds years and years ago, and they got rid of them. So why wouldn't you get rid of them now? You know what I mean? Just play it. And like in the state leagues, we still play 18-a-side.
Exactly. And on that lovely note, guys, we'll leave you with that. Have an excellent weekend. Enjoy all the sporting action. If you're from Perth and you're listening, get down to the Optus Stadium weekend for a big, big inaugural clash there for the women's game. And thank you for joining us this Friday. Of course, we'll be back on Monday. Me and Liam will be in the studios again to recap all of the action from the big round of sport this weekend. Thank you for joining us.